In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I guess a good question to ask ourselves as we begin is, why are we here? Why are you here? Those watching the live stream, why are you here this morning? It's not an odd question. In fact, it is, after all, basically what Jesus is asking in the gospel. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Why are you here? It's interesting, isn't it, that those first disciples that we see in the gospel responded not with well-prepared biblical-style speeches or by telling Jesus about their own personal hopes and dreams and fears and sorrows, what they hope to get out of the relationship. But instead they responded, where are you staying? He said, come and you will see. So they went and saw where Jesus was staying. Jesus lays out right away the basic principle of what it means to say that we are a Catholic Christian. We have to get to know the life of the Master. This is the right question to ask Jesus. Where are you staying? Let us come and live with you, to learn from you, to get to know you. To truly know someone, we can't go on and on about ourselves, right? To truly know someone, we have to seek the other. And so it is with Jesus. So I'm going to keep this simple today. Three things to make this happen. Three things that we as modern disciples can do to come and see, to stay with him, to learn from him. Number one, can you guess? I'll never tire from saying it. Number one is prayer. Always prayer. I'll say it until I die. Prayer. We have to gradually develop a mature life of prayer. If you and I are not serious about our prayer life, then we will never, and I repeat, never grow to know God. And then we have no right then to blame him for things or to blame his church if we haven't been developing a relationship. It's a person that we're getting to know. So prayer, remember, is not the words that we say. Instead, prayer is what God does in and through us, and that we are open to receiving. It certainly involves often, very often, words and our formal prayers and reading and meditating on sacred scripture and filling our hearts with gratitude for the gifts that God gives us. But remember this, the heart of prayer is silence. Always begin with silence and allow God to speak. Or are you the kind of person that can't stand silence? Are you the kind of person that has to fill that void and you're in a car ride with someone and suddenly there's silence and you can't take it, so you have to chatter away? Imagine driving cross country with a person like this. Or maybe if you don't know that person, maybe it's you, right? It's okay, and it's spiritually mature to admit if that is that we don't like silence. Knowing is half the battle, I always say, right? There was a man who died leaving his wife and two sons. One of the sons was not able to be at his father's bedside when he passed. And so he rushed back as fast as he could. He went up to his brother who had been there and he said, tell me how Dad died. Did he have any last words? And his brother responded, no, Dad had no last words. Mom was with him there right to the end. Remember, it's "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Not listen, Lord, for your servant is speaking." So let's stop the chatter, telling God what we want all the time, telling him how to be God, and can't you see what's going on down here, and all of those things. Because when we do that, we miss the subtle whispers that he is constantly doing and the peaceful grace that comes with those whispers. William McGill once wrote, "The value of persistent prayer is not that God will hear us, but that we will finally hear God." So, number one, prayer. Number two, we are Catholics. Jesus founded this church for a reason, and we have to build our lives around the sacraments, his free gifts, personal encounters with him, in order to give us his life that we call grace. Life in the soul, life in the temple. When John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God, he was alluding to the Old Testament Lamb sacrificed right before the Exodus from Egypt, whose blood then was smeared upon the doors of the faithful, and death then passed over their house, the Passover. The blood of that lamb saved the Israelites from slavery. In New Testament times, in the age of the church, that prophetic image is fulfilled in this Eucharist, the body and blood of the true sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ himself, whose blood on the temple of your body saves you from sin. So adoring the Blessed Sacrament, receiving Holy Communion, and opening our hearts obediently and with contrition to God in confession, confirmation, anointing of the sick, holy matrimony, where Christ is the real center, and all the sacraments draw us deeper into what it means to be a Christian by linking our lives more intimately with Christ. Prayer, sacraments, and number three, in order to deepen our friendship with Christ, we have to make God's will our first concern, above all other things, the chief concern. One key aspect of friendship, right, is wanting and liking the same things. It's how friends get started. You want and you like the same things. You realize you have a lot in common, and it begins to build. It's the same reason why some people aren't friends, why usually Carolina Gamecocks and Clemson Tigers just can't seem to get together, with some notable exceptions. But seriously, friendship with Jesus Christ means wanting and working for whatever our Lord wants and works for. Today's psalm puts it so beautifully. "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. To do your will, O Lord, is my delight." Imagine being delighted, and we will, to do his will. And what does God's will include? Well, we can start with the Ten Commandments. It's a good place to start, and then loving our neighbor as ourselves. And the rest will come to you in, number one, prayer. It all comes back. He will teach you the rest as you begin to grow that relationship with him. So prayer, sacraments, and obedience to Christ's plan, that is, doing his will, these are the foundation stones of a meaningful life, a life anchored in heaven, where our friendship with Christ will reach its everlasting fulfillment. Just before Holy Communion, we hear those words of St. John the Baptist again today. "You'll see me hold up the host. Behold the Lamb of God." As you approach him in this most blessed sacrament, listen as Jesus asks you the same question he asked those first disciples. What are you looking for? Do you hear him? I will give you 7 words, just 7 words only, for you to respond. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.